Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 43. Isaiah chapter number 43. I'll ask, if you will, in reverence to the Word of God, to stand with me, please. Isaiah 43, we're going to read verse 1, verse 2, and part of verse number 3. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, 2, and part of verse 3. Here we go. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. You can be seated. Pray with us, please. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the Word. God, that you're our God. You're our shepherd. You're my shepherd. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me, for allowing me, our Father, to be a part of what you're doing in this world for just a little while. God, I pray this morning that the message, Lord, would prove to be a blessing in the hearts of the hearers. I pray, God, for those that do not yet know you, Lord, that today they might consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, who gave himself for us that we might be redeemed by the good blood and grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. In thy name we pray, amen and amen. We've been preaching for several weeks now, if not a month or more, on walking with the Lord. And this morning I'd like to walk with the Lord through the fire. The Word of God said here, when thou walkest through the fire. I want to call something to your attention. The Bible didn't say if you walk through the fire. It said when you walk through the fire. I'm thinking, beloved, as God dealt in my heart about this message, about marriages that I have seen go through the fire. I mean, it looked like there was no hope, and yet God kept it together, and God got honor, and God got glory. Years ago, I preached a message at Liberty Baptist Church. I thought it was terrible. I left the church feeling like a complete flop and failure. 2 weeks later, a man said to me, Pastor, my wife and I would like to talk to you in your office after church. If you've never pastored, that generally is not good news. Amen. When they came in the office, they asked me if I remembered this message that I'd preached several weeks prior. I said, I do. And the only reason I remembered it is because it was that bad. Amen. I mean, I really thought it was an absolute failure. And the man looked at me with tears in his eyes and said, God used that message to spare our home. He used that message to spare our marriage. We had already decided how we were going to split things up and how we were going to go our own different ways. I'm just telling you this morning, beloved, when we're at our worst, sometimes our God's at his best. God can take little things, amen, even though we might deem it to be a failure, and he can help us through the fire. I've been with people that have been through the fires physically. I've been through people who have been through the fires of grieving, through the fires, beloved, listen, of financial problems. And I'm telling you, there's a God this morning that wants to magnify himself in this message about walking with the Lord through the fire. Let me say in the onset of the message, just by way of introduction, the Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and then reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the word of the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Doctrine is what's right. Reproof is what's not right. And correction's how to get it right. And thank God instruction in righteousness is how to stay right. Amen. I'm glad we have a book. Praise God. That's inspired of God. Amen. I said all that to say this. Isaiah, this prophecy is written to Israel, but it's not written to us. But thank God Almighty, I can stand here without fear, favor, apologizing for it. It's written for us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And God said, there's something there for you. There's some things in this text that apply to the church of the living God, that apply to the born again believer. And I want to share these things with you today. The Word of God mentions in the book of Numbers, fiery serpents. The Word of God mentions in the book of Daniel, a fiery furnace. In the book of Ephesians, it mentions the fiery darts of the wicked. In Hebrews chapter number 10, it mentions another fiery indignation. The Bible said, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Oh yes, there are many adversaries. God said, I've set before you an open door, but there are many adversaries. But the day's coming, and I believe coming soon, when the adversary is going to be devoured, amen, in the judgment of God. But the text I want to key in on this morning in introducing the message is found in the book of 1 Peter. I would like for you to turn there with me. I want you to see this. In 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 12, this is the fiery that I want to concentrate on. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, beloved, that's me. That's you if you've been born again. Peter said, beloved, you're my brothers. You're my sisters in Christ. We're in the family of God. I don't know what in the world these health and wealth preachers do with scriptures like this. Really doesn't matter to me. They're lying anyway. Say amen. The Word of God said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Now I want you to look at this. In the next two words, in the next verse, but rejoice. Now, that doesn't even seem like it fits right there. Here comes the trial. It's a fiery trial. I've been saying for years, I believe the heat's going to be turned up on the church before the coming of the Lord. I believe there's going to be some separating going on. I believe the real will stand true to the Word of God. I believe the real preachers will keep preaching just like they always have. But those beloved that are faith will run for the hills. Amen. But the Word of God said, but rejoice. But rejoice, that doesn't even make sense. But God said, listen, I want you to know when the trials come, the fiery trials come, and the heat's turned up, rejoice. And I'm going to give you some things this morning how that you can rejoice when you're walking with the Lord in the fire. And then at the end of the message, I'll show you something if you're not walking with the Lord in the fire. How in the world can God say in this application here of the fiery trial, that I walkest when thou walkest through the fire. Let me ask you a question. Maybe I didn't even name yours a while ago. Maybe it's not the family. Maybe it's not finances. Maybe it's not your health. But how many of you knows what a fiery trial? I'm talking about, beloved, it'll test your faith, amen. It'll make you wonder, amen. Listen, we're no better than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was down there in the jail. He told his disciples, go ask Jesus, art thou he, or should we look for another? The same man that said he must increase and I must decrease. The same man that said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. In the midst of that trial, beloved, he began to have his doubts. Amen. He said, go ask Jesus. Jesus said, just go tell John the blind see and the lame walk and the deaf hear and the dead are raised. I don't believe they got halfway through that. Old John said, boys, we ain't got nothing to worry about. That's him. Amen. Oh, yes, that's him. Amen. You want to know why? Because there was one in that jail cell with him. He might have been out there ministering, but he was in the heart of that one called John the Baptist, amen, in that jail cell. Oh, beloved, walking with the Lord in the fire. I'm going to give you some reasons we ought to rejoice if we're walking with the Lord through the fire. I want to look at this text this morning. We won't have to go very far into it. Amen. I want you to see, number one, we ought to rejoice because He's present. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look at the second word in verse number one. Now. Glory to God. Not back yonder, not out yonder, but right here, right now. Amen. It don't matter what we're going through. Thank God He's a very present help in a time of need. He's not a God of yesterday and a God of tomorrow. He's a God today, yesterday, and tomorrow. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, the Word of God said, look at verse number 2. He said, I will be with thee. And the Bible said here, when thou walkest through the fire. He's present, beloved. Thank God that He is. Look in verse number 3 here. You know what the Bible said? For I am the Lord thy God. I like that. Not I was, not I will be, but I am the Lord thy God. That puts it right here, right now. I'm telling you, beloved, there's been a lot going on in my heart since this devastation has taken place in our area. It's close to home, amen, when you've got loved ones in the path, amen, and you're waiting to hear from them, Sister Brenda, to see if they're all right. It gets close to home, amen, when it's a man of God that you dearly love that lives on that mountain where 30 inches of rain fell down, and you can't hear from him. You don't know whether he's all right, or his wife's all right, or his children's all right, or his home's all right. I'll tell you one thing I can rejoice in. I know his heart's all right. Glory to God. I know he's walking with one. Amen. It might be a fiery trial, but I know this, beloved. God said he's present right now. He said, I am. Look what he said here in verse number 21. The Word of God said again, I want you to key in on this. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Glory to God. These ones that know that Jesus is not back yonder, not out yonder, but right here he is. I tell you, he's in this building this morning. You say, Pastor, how in the world do you know? I know because I brought him with me. He goes everywhere I go. He knows everything I do. He knows everything I think, everything I say. He knows what's in our heart this morning. If we're redeemed by the grace of God, he knows us today. He's right here with us. He's present. Hallelujah. He said, I am, not I will. Moses said, who shall I say sent me? God said, tell him I am. Amen. I was in Knoxville, Tennessee years ago when I was asked to preach. And I was led of the Lord to give my testimony. It takes a while. It takes 45 minutes or an hour just to scratch my testimony. And I was led to give my testimony. And so when you're asked to preach, you got to give it a title, or at least I think you do. And so I was over there reading where Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen. And I thought, boy, I like that. That'd be a good text. And then God said, well, you know what Moses said? Who shall I say sent me? He said, I am. So I preached on this subject. By the grace of I am what I am. Amen. Glory to God. You're nothing without Him. But there's nothing you can't do. Amen. If He lives in your heart and lives in your life. Not only, beloved, is He present. We ought to rejoice because He's present. But we ought to rejoice, number two, because He hath promised. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look at this. But now, thus, what's the next three words? Saith the Lord. You know what? There's a lot of preachers. I'm not listening, trying to be derogatory, but it'd do a lot of preachers good to read those and preach once in a while what thus saith the Lord and not back up on it. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, you get three little points in a poem. We want people to come in feeling good in their sin and leave feeling good in their sin. That's not the Bible I preach out of. God said preach the whole counsel of God. And God has given some promises to those that He walks with in the fire. I want to show you some of them here. He hath promised. The Bible said, saith the Lord. In verse number 2, he said, I'll be with thee. You say, Pastor, can you really say that God will be with you in the trial? Yes, I can. Because Brother Gary, he said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. That we may boldly say, I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. Because he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Amen. Thank God Almighty this morning. He's promised some things to the children of God. Look in verse number 5. He said here, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. You know what I like? Listen, I like what's going on in Israel. I don't like the opposition. I don't like that they have to move out of their territory. But I tell you what, they some smart warriors in Israel. And I'm going to tell you what, they've got a smart God. Say amen. I'm telling you, my wife and I were listening to the radio this morning coming to church, and they had on there that the head of Hezbollah had been taken out. Well, another guy stepped up, and they took him out. I said, hallelujah. My wife and I turned to each other in the truck and said, next. Amen. I'm telling you what, I serve a God you better not mess with. Amen. My God, beloved, listen, going to help that little nation. He's with them. And beloved, he's went with them through the fire before. He'll go with them through the fire again. You say, Pastor, how can you say that emphatically? I got a book that says that emphatically. It ain't going to be long, and there's going to be an Israeli flag standing right beside that one. A Christian that don't stand with Israel don't understand their Bible. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I believe with all of my heart that God wants us to know we can rejoice because he's present. We can rejoice because he hath promised. Amen. Thank God. In verse number 2, he said, thou shalt not be burned. I like the song the Primitive Quartet sang. I love it. I don't like it. I love it. The only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. God said you're going to walk through the fire. You say, Pastor, that's an impossibility. Well, why don't you tell Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego that? Amen. Did we not throw 3 men bound into the burning fiery furnace? Lo, I see 4 men loosed and walking around. I thank God, beloved, that Jesus specializes in coming alongside of his people when they're in the fiery trials of life. We can rejoice because he's present. We can rejoice because he hath promised. Number 3, we can rejoice. I want you to see this. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 1. We're still in verse number 1. That's good, ain't it? Look what the Bible said here. He said he hath created thee. I want to say this to you this morning. That little baby, Liv Taylor, was born early today. Chase's little baby and Morgan's little baby. Kurt and Christie's little grandchild. Amen. Daddy said if I'd known grandchildren was that good, I'd had them first. Now, I understand. It was so hard to turn Sawyer loose this morning. We throwed the ball in the backyard last night, and he's going out for a pass and learning how to catch that ball on the dead run. I'm telling you, we just had a ball. Amen. That's not a pun. We just had a ball throwing the football back and forth. Amen. He couldn't catch one at all to start with, hardly. And before you know it, he caught 10 in a row. And I'm telling you what, he quit right there, Brother Dale, running in the house and said, Daddy, I caught 10 in a row. Amen. He was so proud of that. Amen. He put Jackson to shame. Amen. Tell Jackson I said that. Never mind. He can hear. Amen. I didn't know he was sitting back there. He's hiding behind Amy. Amen. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Why is he precious? He is precious because he created us. He's precious because he formed us. He's precious because the Word of God said right here, I have called thee by name. Hannah used to sing a song a lot. He knows my name. Yes, he does. He knows my address. He knows my heart. He knows my need even before I ask. And he said, ask. Ask and I shall receive. You shall receive. I'll give you this. I don't know where these thoughts come from, but when I created thee, everybody knows he's our creator. Say amen. I mean, you might have come from an ape, but I didn't. Amen. We know people that act like they did. Somebody say amen. One old preacher said, some of my ancestors may have hung by their neck, but not a one of them swung by their tail. Amen. Amen. Created thee. We know God's the creator. He reached down and got him some dirt. And he made a man. Breathed into that man's nostrils a breath of life. And man became a living soul. But you know, the Bible goes further than that. Said he formed thee. Brother Chris, my mind went back to my elementary school years. Now, my ears don't look too bad today, do they? But you ought to have seen them, Brother Rick, when they was on a little bitty head. I believe these ears was this big when I come out of mommy, amen. I mean, I had huge, I looked like Dumbo the elephant. I could fly when I was a kid. But I had it to do over again. Brother Jack, when they made fun of them ears, I'd have said, my God formed them ears. I'm proud of them ears. My teeth, they call me buck teeth. Amen. They call me Leave It to Beaver. They made all kinds of fun of me, amen, when I was little. And I tell you, these thoughts begin, I begin to rejoice as I studied for this message. He didn't just create me. Honey, he formed me. And hallelujah, let me tell you something right now. If God made you a man, you're a man. And if God made you a woman, and you're a woman, and the ultimate form of pride is to stand in the face of God and tell him he made a mistake. He formed you. Amen. Thank God he's precious. The Bible said unto you therefore which believe, he's precious. Brother Rusty, I want to say this in honor of Brother Rightly Sallin. He'd say he's precious. Oh, that dear man of God. I'm telling you, when he opened his mouth, honey, run out of both sides. He had so much love for God, so much love for God's people, so much love for this precious old book. He would say, he's precious. He's precious. If you know him this morning, you can say he's precious. But can I tell you when he's the most precious? Ree, when all that uncertainty comes, they're going to put something in your veins and they're going to put you off to sleep. I'm going to tell you when he's precious. When you know. God, they may not know this, but you're right here with me. And God, they may not know this. They're doctors, and I thank God for their education and what they're able to do, but you're the one I'm trusting with this. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, when you're going through that fiery trial, I'm telling you, when you're walking with the Lord, he's walking with you. He's more precious than anything in this world. I begin to think, I'm getting ahead of myself maybe a little bit here. But I begin to think about several years ago, there was a tornado in Hawkins County. And I remember well going out on the front porch. I remember it like it was yesterday. And how many knows that there's a calm? I mean, if you had good ears, I believe you could have heard an ant walking across the porch. It was that calm. Nothing was stirring. I remember looking up in the sky and I said, God, everything I have is yours. I said, God, if you take it, I still have you. I said, God, if it comes, let me have just a minute of time to get Miss Eva in the basement. Wait, we done had the place fixed between the washing machine and the dryer. Amen. In the basement. You say, Pastor, you some kind of a super spiritual? No, I'm just telling you, I've got a Bible. I read where Job said the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You say, Pastor, yeah, you're talking about a house. You're talking about property. What about Sawyer? Yes, brother. You say, Pastor, you really believe God would walk through you with a fire like Job? How can I not believe it? If you believe one verse in the Bible, take it all. He's not going to forsake me. Regardless of the fire, he's going to be precious.
to the born-again believer. Amen. Brother Junior and Sister Marie, they faced a lot of uncertainty last week. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you look at this thing just right, the Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Honey, the only thing certain is I know him and he knows me. And when he comes, I'm going to heaven. Say amen. Now, I want you to go with me to the city of God. The next thing I want you to see in the message, in verse number 7, the Bible said here, I've been telling you he's precious. He created us. He formed us. He called us by name. Look in verse number 7. For everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Here's something I don't want you to miss this morning. Please don't miss this. Not only, Brother Stephen, is he precious to me, but if we could get a hold of this, we're precious to him. Do y'all understand that? When I think about my grandchildren and think about how precious they are to me, you could take that and magnify it over and over and over and over. That's how precious God's children are to him. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, we ought to rejoice because he's present. We ought to rejoice because he hath promised. We ought to rejoice because he's precious. But let me give you this. We ought to rejoice because he hath pardoned. Look what the Bible said here. Not only in verse number 1 did the Bible say, but now he's present, saith the Lord, he's promised. I've created thee, formed thee. But he said, I've redeemed thee. I've been redeemed. There I was, a slave to sin. Out there on the auction block. They didn't nobody want me. But here comes Jesus. He said, I'll pay the price. You know what the word redeem means? It means to deliver by paying a price. Glory to God. Jesus said, they may not nobody want you, son, but I'll go to Calvary. I'll pay the price. I want you. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know how I've lived. I know this. He wants you too. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isaiah chapter 55. Turn over a couple pages. Show you something here. Isaiah chapter number 55, verse number 6. The Bible said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll get to looking down our Baptist noses and thinking something like this. Ain't no hope for him. Ain't no hope for her. That ain't what I read. God said, let the wicked forsake his way. Let him run to me. He's going to find out, beloved, there's a God in that fiery trial that'll deliver him and redeem him. That's close to home with me. Verse number 11. Look at it here with me just a moment. In chapter 43, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. You are wasting your time looking anywhere else. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. You're wasting your time looking anywhere else. Thank God Almighty. Why should we rejoice? Because he's present. He hath promised. He is precious. He hath pardoned. But I want to give you this. Why should we rejoice? In Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 10, let me read it. He said, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be any after me. I want everybody to get this right here. Why should we rejoice? Because when we rejoice in the fiery trials of life And I've got people in my mind right now that I've watched go through things. I can't imagine how they made it. But they made it. And I know how they made it. Because the Lord was with them. And the Lord helped them. But there's not a greater opportunity. It's in that trial when God helps us that the world around us, our family, our children, our loved ones, our brothers and sisters in Christ, they get the best picture of the grace of God and the God of all grace. They don't get the best picture when we're up on the mountain, everything going real good. They get the best picture when the bottom has fell out of everything. And just keep walking with God. Keep talking with God. Keep trusting God. There's your mommy. Just keep praising God. Did she ever quit praising God? No, I know she didn't. Right up to the end. Just keep praising the Lord. You say, Pastor, I want to give you a story. You may have heard this. I know I've shared it personally. I'm not sure I've shared it from the pulpit or not. But there was a man that I used to pastor in Wise, the first church that I pastored. He was faithful every Sunday morning. He didn't come much on Sunday night, once in a while maybe. Not much on Wednesday night, but Sunday morning he was there. His wife was a Sunday school teacher. His boy was the same age as my boy. They grew up in Sunday school together. And this man was not saved. He was what I would call a good moral man. He was a family man. He held down a good job. He was a boss in the mines. And this man, if he was sitting right here, he'd say, he'd be nodding his head. He'd say, your pastor's telling you right. Because this man's son got cancer. Same age as my boy. My boy's 42 now. He was in his late 30s. And he got cancer. He was a firefighter in California. And he breathed a lot of stuff that didn't help matters. But he got cancer. And through his boy's death, this man that I had preached to for years got saved. One day we were standing outside the home. They asked me to come, and I did. They asked me to do his funeral, and I did. One day we were standing outside the home, and I said, Joe, I've got to know, how is it that you could listen to that preaching and listen to those revival meetings? I said, what is it that kept you back all of those years? This is what he told me. I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to say exactly like he did. Preachers and deacons. He had men under him in the mines. That were living in such a way that their lives were a stumbling block to this lost man. Now I know there's no excuse. You understand what I'm talking about there. But dear God, just let me die. Let me stand between somebody in heaven. Just get me out of the way. Amen. I said, well, Joe, I said, why now? Why now? He looked at me and here's what he said. He said, I saw the grace of God in my boy's life. All that preaching, he couldn't see it. All that scripture, he couldn't see it. But he was watching a boy walking through a fiery trial with the grace of God on him. Still believing God, still praising God, still looking forward to meeting God with confidence in the Lord. That boy's life painted a picture that daddy couldn't turn away from. I say hallelujah. That would change the way, Brother Dale, we look at a trial. If we say, God, let me paint a picture for somebody to see him in this trial, this fiery trial, walking with the Lord in the fire. Quickly, and I'm finished. Turn in Isaiah chapter 43 over the page. I've given you five reasons to rejoice. When you're in the fire, He's present. He's promised. He's precious. He's pardoned. He's pictured. Now I want to give you why we don't rejoice in the fire. It's right here. It's right here in the Scripture. Look, if you will, at verse 22, chapter 43. But thou hast not called upon me. You see that? Honey, listen, when the trials come, that ain't no time to quit praying. That ain't no time to quit reading your Bible. That ain't no time to quit letting your light shine. The Bible said here, thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me. Tired. I will tell you something right now. If you're tired of walking with Him, I feel sorry for you. This is the greatest journey that any man, woman, boy, or girl could ever go on. It's just get hooked up with Him and walk with Him from here to heaven. Watch this. He said, you're weary of me. Watch this now. O Israel, thou hast not brought me the small cattle. God just showed me something, Brother Chris. It don't start with the big things in our life. It's the little things we begin to let slip.
You're right. Amen.
We begin to look a little bit at things we ain't got no business looking at. We begin to listen to a little bit things we ain't got no business listening to. We begin to say words that we ain't got no business saying. Somebody help me. We begin listening to a joke that we ain't got no business listening to. Them little things. What the Word of God said something like this, the little foxes spoil the vine. And the first thing you know, you're down there. And beloved, you're not rejoicing. He's still there. Because there's sin. Watch what he said here. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve thee with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. That's a terrible way to end a message. But I believe if that were not the case, we'd be having revival in America. So many people. Something has come between them and God. You say, Pastor, you'll not find me rejoicing walking through the fire. That's why. That's why. That's why. That's why. Brother Ralph Sexton lost his wife not too long ago. He's still mounting that pulpit with glory in his soul. He's still preaching. You want to know why? He's not alone. I'll promise you there's times when he's off in the closet, his heart's broke, and he misses his sweetheart. But he's going to keep on keeping on for the glory of God Almighty. Now he's trying to do what he can to help Asheville. What a time for Christians. Amen. What a time to let our light shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. He was in a valley of all valleys. I believe really you could read into that. I'm not adding to the Bible, but I believe if you would just read Job's conversation with his three so-called friends, you would understand that there was a lot of things Job didn't know and he didn't understand. But there's one thing he knew through it all. My God's alive. My Redeemer liveth. And this is not the end. He's going to stand upon the earth once again in the latter day. I hope something's been said to encourage you this morning. I don't know what kind of fire we'll have to walk through before we get out of here. But I do know this. Every born again child of God will not walk through it alone. We got company in the fire. Amen. We can walk with Him. We can talk with Him. We can paint a picture. Let God, the Holy Ghost, paint a picture in our life that others can see the grace of God in our lives. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You this morning for the privilege to be here at Bible Way today. God, I've done my best to convey, God, what You put in my heart. God, I think about some of the things that we've been through. And in comparison with what some are going through this morning, Lord, it's nothing. I think about, Lord, the nights that I've laid awake as a pastor and wept all night. Absolutely nothing compared to what some are going through this morning. I think about, Lord, the times in our life when we had no idea how that the needs would be met. But God, You never left us. You never left us. You always met the need. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that those that are here lost without God would realize they have the greatest need. They don't have to face the fiery trials of life alone. Lord, You didn't say if. You said when. They're coming. I personally believe, Lord, the heat's going to be turned up as we go in towards the coming of our Lord. Help us, Lord, to be found faithful. Help us, God, to know how precious You are this morning. Blessed this invitation. Lord, I pray that we get a burden in our heart to pray for those that have been devastated. Pray for those that are lost. Pray for our country. God, You're trying to get our attention. Help us, oh God, to repent and to look once again unto Jesus. Would you come this morning? Take your place in this altar and pray.